Today on Real Radio.
Church, listen, I'm going to send you on a mission. Get alone with God and ask him, Lord, okay, I heard that message on Sunday. I want to ask you right now, Lord, I want to do that. I want to touch your face, Jesus. I want to know you.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues now in his verse-by-verse look at Paul's first letter to the Corinthians. We're looking at the opening verses of chapter 13, a pretty popular section of Scripture called the Love Chapter. Now, like certain other Scripture passages, 1 Corinthians 13 is often recited at weddings and anniversaries and other celebrations where you might find the L word used a whole lot. But we often miss the context and the true meaning that the Apostle Paul intended. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now in a lesson called Living the Love of God.
But how do you know him? Do you know Jesus in a simple manner of theology? You say theology cannot be simple. Actually, it can be simple if you so choose it to be simple. There are those who get all jumbled up in theology and wind up never meeting Jesus. Or they knew Jesus and got jumbled up in theology and missed him. Theology is great. Orthodoxy, to know your Bible is great, but to know your Bible and not know the love of him who gives the Bible is a grave danger. To go in and out of church and to miss what Spurgeon called intercourse with God in a moment-by-moment basis is to miss the love of God. And before we ever get into the gifts, church, we could just blow by this chapter and say, you know what, just go down to the local Hallmark store, get a card and read all about it. And get into the operation of the gifts, or we can lay the foundation that is even in the midst of the gifts, even in the midst of sound, great, conservative, biblical theology, that we don't miss who Jesus is. We can become like those who decipher theological Tweedledees from Tweedledums in their seminaries, and they never bow the knee in passionate worship to Jesus Christ because they've become religious. And I don't want this church to operate spiritual gifts like we go to some track meet or some Olympic game and say, did you see how far that guy? Did you see how heavy? It's all about the love of God. Now, I'm going to say some stuff today that's going to maybe just freak you out. Things like this that may sound like sin coming right out of my mouth. Things like this. It's okay to turn off the TV, maybe even throw it away. That's hard to swallow, isn't it? I could feel the pushback. I could feel it. Things like pulling earplugs or earphones out of your head. Slowing down. I'm telling you from personal experience. It's kind of strange how God works in our lives. Two things are working for me really good right now. Number one, all last week, I was getting over the effects of jet lag, which I woke up every morning at 1 a.m. And there's nothing else to do but be with God. No one's up at that time but God. And the other thing is this. A couple of months ago, we bought a canary. And I told you guys about that canary, didn't I? Well, you know what? Now all of our neighbors know about the canary. Everyone knows. The street behind us knows about our canary. The canary never stops singing. It went from bringing him home. Oh, isn't he fantastic? By the way, he's this color. I mean, he is literally that color. And he's singing. We bring him home. The guy said, and he probably won't sing for maybe up to a month or two because he's scared. I said, okay. Brought him home, set him down. He starts going off. Well, he's apparently not scared. He's so loud. He's so loud, and he's so pretty, and he never stops praising God because the Bible says in Psalm 150, everything that has breath, let it praise the Lord. So he's singing, and he's singing, and he's singing, and you know what? Lisa and I turned, when we first got up, we turned on the TV. He's in the room. Turn on the TV. I can't hear the TV. Turn it up. Seriously. Those of you who have been to my house, you know what I'm talking about. The thing's so loud. And he's singing, and I looked online. Canary singing. Everybody's asking, how do I get my canary to sing? I asked this guy at thecanarydoctor.com, how do I get him to shut up? You know what's happened in our home? The greatest sacrifice you can imagine. This bird has caused me to not turn on the TV hardly at all in the last couple months. My heart rate has gone down. My pulse is easier. My blood pressure's gone down. I'm watching this little bird, praise God, and now he's got the birds in the neighborhood coming to the house. They're like looking in. The birds in our neighborhood want to know what's going on in the house because the bird is singing. And I kid you not, just this week I walked into our room, Lisa was there, and we had birds in the house. They came, birds from outside came inside to see what's going on. Why? This bird is in love with God. The Bible says that creation knows its creator. We're the ones. We lose track of it all. We get all theologically pumped up, but in all of it, that's fine, but don't lose a heart for God. And if you don't have one, nurture a heart for God. Number one, has his love awakened you this way? Awakened you to the spiritual realm. To the spiritual realm that you and I are people living in this world, but listen, we've got one foot, as it were, in this world and one foot in heaven, but I mean that in a good way. The Bible tells us in verse 1, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels. Stop right there. What an amazing statement Paul is saying. Though I speak with the tongues of men, I could speak any language in the world. If that were possible, Paul said, by the gifting of God's Holy Spirit, that's something. And if I, listen, had the languages of angels, apparently angels have a language. Can you imagine that? What do they sound like? I have no idea, but apparently angels have a language. And Paul is saying, it doesn't matter if I speak with all the languages of the known world or all the languages of known invisible realm of eternity. He says it doesn't matter unless I'm a vehicle for God's love. Every Christian, no matter how we've been brought up or no matter how we might be in this life, God's love is to emanate from the Christian. No one who claims Christ can be exempt or opt out of showing the love of God. And here's the reason why. It's not of human means. The love that is listed in 1 Corinthians 13, it is not a definition of love. Contrary to what you might read, it's not a definition. If it was a definition of love, then anyone could pick it up and do it. Next week, when we read the litany of love suffers long, love is kind, love is gentle, envies not, does not rejoice when others are offended. When we go down that list, we will insert the name Jesus wherever the word love appears, and it defines the very nature of God. And then we'll put our name in there and see how far we get. It is not a definition of love. It is this display of God's love for us. He is our creator. We are the created, and he loves you. And that is a problem for some people today. God loves me. Yeah, you're supposed to say that. You're a Christian. God loves you. But you need to understand something. We get the whole concept based upon the very nature of God himself. He is love. Now, very quickly. In the Greek mind, remember, he's writing to the church at Corinth, Greece. Greece, there was the word love. Eros, we get the word erotic. Eros is unbridled passion. And I even hate to use the word love because it's not love. It's like it's just unleashed sexual energy. And so people would say love, but it's very conditional because it's not the expression of, it's solely what I get. I don't care what happens to you. It's what I get. Eros. And then there's phile or phileo. We get the word Philadelphia, brotherly love, the city of brotherly love. Phileo, phileo's kind of cool. Phileo is a word that is used in the Greek culture for how brothers are united, the love within a family, the love for nation, the love, it's good, it's fine. Then there's agape. The Greeks knew about the meaning or the word agape, but it was never applied to anything of value to them in a sense that because it was too beyond. It is a love, listen, please listen to this. Listen, because as Christians, I'm going to assume we're all Christians this morning. You say, Pastor, don't do that. I just brought my unbelieving friend. Just hear me out. As Christians, it is incumbent upon the Christian that this is the love that we ask of God to live out in our lives. When two Christians come to the altar to be married, this is the love that they're asking to bind them together. Non-Christians don't have access to this. They can have eros. They can have phileo. You can have more phileo for someone than others. But to agape them, here's the difference. Agape is a choosing by the will of a sovereign individual, makes a determination I have chosen of my own counsel to bestow upon this person my love. And all of the things that come with it. And God looks at you and don't ask him why. It will take eternity for him to define it. He calls out to you and he says, I love you. And you and I, because I've already done this, you and I will shout back 1,000 reasons why we are unlovable, why we have no merit of his love. And God says, you don't understand. I have chosen you to be a recipient of my love. And are you going to argue with that? Or are you going to surrender to that? Some Christians argue with him for a lifetime and retard their spiritual development. They're going to heaven. They love God to a point. But they've never entered in by, number one, listen, accepting that most primal requirement that God lays on us. I love you, for God so loved you that he gave his only begotten son. And when you grab that and you say, wow, I didn't make that up. He said it. I'm going to take it. I'm going to believe him. I'm going to enter into that. Listen, you Sundays, church, not enough. It's got to be every moment. It's got to be all the time. Your heart begins to beat hot for God. You've got to have more of him. I was about 9 years old when a neighbor family moved onto our street. His name was Kevin. I'll never forget him. How can I forget him? Because it kind of freaked us out. He was blind from birth. And his mom told us, stand still. Kevin wants to see you. Stand still. We're thinking, okay. This is freaky. He could identify you from a distance by your voice, right? If you're blind today, you can identify people by the voice, sound of their voice. But if you want to see them, if you're blind and you want to see them, how do you see them? Oh, very good class. We stood still and Kevin came up to each of us and he just absolutely ever so gently with his hands and his memory and his mind and on the blackboard of his brain, he was forming a look of us, each of us. And I'm inviting you in this series to do that with Jesus. You can come so far, you can recognize his voice, you've got great theology, but you've never touched his face. You've got to get close enough now that you've accepted Christ and you know the doctrines of the Bible, you've got to get closer. Close enough, and it's available now, you can do it. Close enough that you touch his face. You say, Jack, are you crazy? No, remember, listen, the bird, no more TV, turn it off, or a lot less of this or that, unplug, get alone with him. Church, listen, I'm gonna send you on a mission. Get alone with God and ask him, Lord, okay, I heard that message on Sunday. I want to ask you right now, Lord, I want to do that. I want to touch your face, Jesus. I want to know you. I want to be able to identify you even in the total dark. I want to know that you're with me. I recognize your voice. I've got your theology, but now I need to experience the face. The Bible tells us that in eternity, you and I will see Jesus Christ. What is it? Face to face. All this, I believe, is preparatory to the gifts and the using of the gifts because we have been awakened to the spiritual realm. Secondly, it's this. Verse 1 teaches us that has his love awakened you, and that has awakened you to the need for life. though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels. Imagine that. Paul is talking about eternity. And has his love awakened you to the need for life, life itself? When I say life itself, think about this. Has he not, in our studies, has he not been teaching us that the hand cannot say to the eye, I have no need of you? Remember that? Can the foot say to the hand, I don't have any need of you and I'm out of here? He's talking about the church being like a body. But he never identifies the blood of it all. And I'll make this part up, I think, with God's permission. If this is the body, and some of us are hands, and some of us are ears, and some of us are feet, then is not the love of God the blood that would course through that body's veins? It's the blood of the body. What sustains us? Isn't it amazing that if I spilled my blood upon this carpet right now, that just for a few nanoseconds of time, maybe, I don't know, less than a minute, there would be life on the carpet. When Cain killed Abel, did not God say, his blood cries out to me from the earth? Think of it. That blood in your spiritual body is your love for Jesus. Do you have a pulse? Are you longing for God? Has things cluttered? You and I live in a dangerous culture. We've got so much stuff. We can do anything we want. The economic perils of the world has hit the world everywhere, including here. But even if we're homeless, we won't be homeless for long till someone finds out about it. You're going to be scooped up and loved on. You're going to be taken care of. Other people have other means to help you if you have none. We're rich. But to think for a moment, with all of the distractions in life, I'm asking you to start nurturing like never before an alone, passionate, quiet time with God and watch the pulse increase. Get with him. And Paul is saying, if I don't have love, listen, how do you fall in love with somebody? You spend time with them. Love is an amazing thing on the human scale, just alone. The person that you could be talking to could be as ugly as sin itself. But there can be niceties that come out of their life. There can be a beauty that comes out of them where it's so powerful. Hear me out, especially you young people. This is going to be free, no charge. Listen. Oh, she's so hot. Oh, man, she's so cute. Wow, wait a minute. You've got a lot of grief coming your way if you don't listen to me. The person that is so turns out to be sweet and loving and caring and amazing, they become more beautiful. Literally. The person that is so hot in the eyes of the world, 5 minutes hanging out with them, you can't wait to get away from them. Who needs it? Does not the Bible say in the book of Isaiah that Jesus, the Messiah, had no form or comeliness by which we should desire him? Did you know? In the Hebrew it means he wasn't physically attractive. But he's the lover of your soul. You've settled for a part-time relationship with him. He hasn't. He refuses. He's pursuing you like a young lover. You've barely given him the time of day. I'm not saying you. I'm saying this to some other church that might listen in. But if God is speaking to you today about committing yourself more to him, I want you to be more committed to him, because we're on a very dangerous track. We're going to be coming in the weeks ahead to the gifts of the Holy Spirit. But if you're not a Christian that is first rooted, understanding that God's love is available to you, and you are now once understanding it to live out that love, I'm scared. I don't care how many wonderful gifts we'll be just like the Corinthians. They came behind and no gift. But were they not suing each other? Didn't they have divisions? Well, I'm of this group. Oh, yeah, well, I'm of that group. Were they not backbiting? And were they not even sexually immoral? But they had every gift listed in the Bible. And God says, I can't stand that. A need for life. And then thirdly here, awakened to the love of Christ. To the love of Christ. There's no greater motivation in the heart of man than not totalitarianism, not brutality, but love. Isn't it amazing? 2,000 years later, we're talking about Jesus, and he is the awesome display of love itself. It doesn't matter where you go and what culture in the world, eventually you'll get to the message of Jesus. And an absolute atheist would have to admit, well, that description, that life of Jesus you just told me about, those gospels that you just read me, that's a man of love. That's right. The manifestation of the love of Jesus Christ, absolutely awesome. He's altogether lovely, the Bible tells us. I'm looking at my notes and the time that remains, and we're not going to make it. But then, when is it any different, I guess? Huh? If I were to say to you, we're going to place these demands upon you here at Calvary. We're going to demand that you got to be in this group for so long. Then you got to go to this group. Then you got to pass this test. And we're going to have a checkboard. And we're going to then we're going to decide if you can become a member. And so you jump through all the thing. You do all the stuff, you know. I was at a church, it's quite a while ago, but it made an impression on me. I pulled up and I was looking for a place to park. And instead of just having red curbs, you know, you have to, by law, you have to have red curbs. We all, every building has to have a red curb. The fire department makes that happen. That's not us. If it was us, we would paint them all gray and let you park anywhere you wanted to. The fire department says, no, you can't park here. And that church said, thou, on the curb, it said, thou shalt not park here. I thought that was kind of cool. But you know when you're raising up a little kid? Parents, you want to be careful raising up a little kid because you have to provide things for your little one when they're growing up that they can touch, that they can get to. Because if you let your, if you've got a shrine, if you're worshiping your home and you've got all these, this junk in your house, I can call it junk because I don't live there. So you have all this junk in your house and I don't care if the Pope gave you a cross and it's on the kitchen table. That baby, when that baby's walking around, listen, you can teach that little baby. No, we don't touch that. We don't touch that one, or we don't touch this, or we don't touch the other thing. But there's got to be stuff in the house for the kid to touch. Or else, you know what? Listen, mom, young mom and dad, listen up. If everything's, no, don't do that. Move. Don't, not that, not this. No, 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 no. At some point in time, we've all seen it happen, your little kid will look at something. They'll walk in the house, and they'll see something. They get so nervous. They walk in the house and they look around and they go, no, 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 no. Everything's a no. And that's like a legalistic church or a legalistic faith that hasn't touched the face of Jesus. It's all rules by men in this way. And things created by men lay over our hearts callousness, coldness. Many of us battle with layers of religious callousness on our hearts. And listen, if we're not careful, we'll begin to see them as a virtue and we'll protect them.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio. In a study that takes a look at the opening verses of 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and we call this Living the Love of God. That's the title of today's lesson. In fact, Living the Love of God is actually a mini-series taken from this part of Paul's letter, which means we'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, of course, we realize that it's not always possible for you to hear every single broadcast of Real Radio with Jack Hibbs when it airs. That's why we've made subscribing to podcasts of Real Radio real easy. Simply visit us at realradioactive.org, that's realradioactive.org, and click on the button on the right that says simply podcasting. Again, that's realradioactive.org. And then click on podcasting. It's real easy. Subscribe and you'll never miss an edition of Real Radio. Listen to each broadcast at the time that's best for you. That's at realradioactive.org. Our telephone number, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.